in Ukraine. Let's connect with Joseph Lindsley. Joe, hello to you. Last night, the president made an urgent, what he termed urgent, military aid appeal for Ukraine and Israel. How is that speech being received where you are in Ukraine today?
Hey, Bob. Well, good afternoon from Kyiv. I just traveled this morning from Odessa, and the one thing that people are focusing on about President Biden's speech yesterday is that he linked Israel and Ukraine as a common cause. That's what everyone here feels. That's what pretty much everyone with whom I speak in Israel feels. But there has not been that sort of identification in a wide way, I think, in the United States. And so there is a lot of good feelings about the president's speech. Right now, I'm in rainy Kyiv. I just took a run to the Gold Dome St. Sophia Cathedral, 1,000 years old, the deep history of this place. This morning, I was in a different climate. I was in balmy or sunny Odessa, breathing the sea air. And I made the five-hour journey by car with friends. And, you know, these wartime road trips, you know, the cars are packed with the usual things, plus also bulletproof vests and helmets and, you know, the accoutrements of war. And on this trip in this packed car, we were joined by that cat that I mentioned the other day, Slavik, the combat kitten, and this tiny little cat. And I woke up at one point rolling through the fertile fields of central Ukraine, somewhere near that city of Uman, which is an ancient site of Jewish pilgrimage to this day. And I woke and this little kitten was staring at me, sitting on my backpack. And then he started to jump around. And I realized watching that soon, that kitten, that little Slavic, he, instead of jumping around playfully in a car listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Ukrainian rock, he's going to be in a trench with his owner, the soldier. And so even this innocent little kitten very soon is going to be hearing the sounds and experience, you know, the awfulness of war. And that, you know, that as we stopped at gas stations along the way and you see civilians and soldiers, and there's such a great collegiality among everyone. But that this, the longer this goes on, obviously the more the toll increases. But I never see any slackening of Ukrainian resistance, because as much as they hate the war, they would hate living in Russia even more. They would hate not having freedom. And so that speech yesterday is remarkable. And I think from President Biden. But I think there's one there's actually an extraordinary timeline, I think, that has been missed in the press accounts of what's happened since really in the past month, because on September 21st, Thursday, September 21st, President Zelensky was in Washington. He was meeting with President Biden and many congressional lawmakers. And at that time, as President Zelensky said, that Ukraine would lose the war if the United States curtailed the flow of aid, of the flow of weapons to Ukraine. And the White House was, on Thursday, the 21st of September, the White House was pledging continued support, but they said, including, there was a statement from Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor. He said that the provision of long-range weapons, like the ATACMS, those Army Tactical Missile Systems, these long-range ballistic missile systems, he said that was still extremely unlikely. That was what was said on Thursday, September 21st. And then the next day, Friday, September 22nd, in the afternoon, Ukraine time, and in the morning in Washington, we had reports, including from the Russians. The Russians confirmed that their Black Sea Naval Fleet's headquarters was hit in a precise attack by the Ukrainians. And later it became apparent that the Ukrainians were using these Storm Shadow long-range weapons provided by the United Kingdom. Unlike Washington at that time, the United Kingdom had given full permission for Ukraine to hit targets in Crimea, the peninsula that Russians have occupied since 2014. And I think we see Zelensky had just been in Washington. The White House said, oh, they promised more millions and billions, but not the exact things that Ukraine needed. And Ukraine showed that the next day what they can do if they are given these precision weapons. And they precisely hit only the military target. By all accounts, I mean, we already know they've had, I mean, the Black Sea Fleet has been dispersed. They've had to go to Russia's sort of secondary port, something like 200 miles away from there. And there's been no major, as I've said, there's been no major nationwide, long-range missile attack by Moscow since that Ukrainian a strike on the Black Sea Fleet headquarters. And then, but then the really interesting thing is, a few hours after that happened, on Friday, I think it was Friday afternoon, Washington time, Friday, September 22nd, one day after Washington said no attackems, no long range attackems, as they're called, to Ukraine, they changed their tune. And they said, we will send a few attackems to Ukraine. And I think, I want to ask the question, you know, was this Ukraine strategy, was this President Zelensky's strategy to go to Washington, and while he was there, as he was leaving, to say, look what we can do if you give us permission, if you give us the tools. And then just over a week ago, those attackems arrived in Ukraine. And for some reason, the headlines made a big deal that they arrived secretly. I don't know why they were doing, you know, why that was a big deal. All weapons arrive here secretly. But what all those stories missed is that those were those attackums that arrived, you know, about a week ago, were the ones that on the 21st, Washington said no. On the 22nd, after Ukraine hits the Black Sea naval headquarters, the Russian headquarters in Sevastopol, they said yes. And then just a few days after the arrival of the attackums, this past Tuesday, the 17th, Ukrainians used those exact weapons to hit the Russian air base in Berdyansk that occupied Ukrainian city on the Sea of Azov. And they have, we're still getting reports on exactly how much was destroyed, but a significant number of Russian, especially Russian helicopters, was destroyed in that attack. So some reports say 14 British intelligence says on that day, because of those attackings, Russians lost at least 14 helicopters in both Berdyansk and then in Donbass in Luhansk. And so I think there's something very extraordinary there. And maybe that's why we see this strong speech from President Biden. Ukrainians are proving what they can do. And also that when they hit these targets, Russia, for all of its blustering, its response is not very powerful.
Interesting. Yes, that was a major victory for Ukraine. And as you pointed out here the other day, if not for the war in Israel, that would have been a huge headline around the world. Joseph, you're such a student of history. I know you'll be interested that 23 years ago today, in 2000, an Israeli-Palestinian truce was brokered by President Clinton, and it collapsed in a hail of gunfire, Israeli troops killing 9 Palestinians and wounding 67 on this day in 2000.
Yeah, and this, you know, and these are, you know, heavy things when we see how this is, you know, it seems that the cycle repeats itself.
Yes.
But I think what we see, and this is the big question for you know, civilized and free people in the world. I mean, Hamas came to power in the Gaza Strip, 2007, and I mean they're explicit. They have one goal, really: the destruction of Israel, destruction of the Jewish people. I mean they say it very publicly, and I think somehow this gets missed in the debates about it. You know, if Israel were to relent at all, their enemies want them destroyed, and that has never changed. And you know, when Israel pulled out of Gaza. Totally. You know, they used to have military presence there. They had Israelis living there up until 2007, and they gave it to them. They said, "Here, make it this. You know, make something extraordinary if you want." And we see instead they use that Gaza, the Hamas use that opportunity to further destruction. And yesterday, on Russian propaganda TV, RT, is English language TV, which it's popular on YouTube, and many Americans watch it. An Israeli politician was on Russian propaganda TV, and he shocked them. He said Russia and Iran and Hamas are all together, and Russia is a common enemy of Israel and Ukraine. And it was really fantastic that he was able to say that on Russian propaganda television.
Yeah, unbelievable. Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv, that image of the little cat is going to stay with me all weekend. It's funny how something like that involving an animal can really get to you, Joe.
Slavic the combat kitten.
Yeah. All right, we'll pray for the kitten as well, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Until Monday. Thank you, Bob.